Verse 15 reads this way. It says, "Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening asking your blessing on your word. Lord, on your people tonight, may you open up our hearts and minds to hear from you. Lord, that you might be highly exalted and lifted up, and that we would be drawn closer to you, and that you would enable us to be the witnesses you've called us to be of your great grace, that we might share that with a lost and dying world, and that they would also see their need to trust you as Savior by repenting of their sins and believing on you by faith, trusting that you truly are the Redeemer, the Savior of the world. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message here is a little twofold here. It starts off in verse 15, moreover. So that's the first thought, moreover. And moreover means in addition to what has been said, and it also implies also more importantly. Don't forget this. But then we have here at the last part here, verse 16, eyewitnesses of his majesty. And that was Peter. He was an eyewitness of the Lord's grace. And we'll see that here in just a little bit. But we want to take a look here at this word of God that God has given to us. And a lot of people, for some reason or other, and by the way, the Bible says that they would do this. They would question the Lord. They would question the things of God and begin to move away from the Bible, from the word of God. You have people today that are preaching that the word of God is not important. All you need to know is about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, where will you find that if not in the Bible? If the Bible is not the word of God, we have nothing to base our faith on. And so the word of God is emphatically important. And the Bible says that there's going to be apostates that are going to come in. There's going to become false teachers that will move in the realm of society and begin to preach a false doctrine or a false gospel and pull people away from the faith, from the true word of God. And so we want to be founded upon the word of God because that's where the Holy Spirit works. That's where we learn about the grace of God. That's where we learn about redemption. That's where we learn about the payment for our sins. And that's where we learn about the resurrection power that's in the life of the believer. And so tonight we want to consider some important truths here concerning eyewitnesses of his great majesty, but also the things that are important that God wants us to be aware of, that we don't go ahead and get caught up in believing some of the stuff that's coming down down the road here and being propagated today. A lot of people are preaching a gospel that's not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, for some time, for many years, you've been hearing about these prosperity preachers. They talk about giving and God's going to give to you. And if you have big faith and you give a lot of money, you're going to get a lot back. Well, the Bible doesn't teach that. If so, Paul missed it, didn't he? Because he wasn't a wealthy man. Peter wasn't wealthy either. And so be careful about that. And typically, and I'm not trying to really badmouth anybody, but false preachers, my goodness, they talk about this doctrine and they have mansions and they have planes and they have all these big things, and I'm afraid they're missing something, and I think it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we want to be careful not to miss the Lord, and the only way to do that is by giving heed according to his word, what he has said. So pick up with me in verse 17, and we're going to consider three thoughts tonight. Just for a brief moment, the voice from God the Father. This is eyewitnesses of his majesty. The voice from the Holy Spirit and the voice from false prophets. So look with me in verse 17 and notice what Peter is saying here. He says, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory," speaking of Jesus Christ, "when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, and in whom I am well pleased.'" Remember, this was the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John were there. And Peter just stepped out of line again, and he said, "Oh, Lord, it's good for us to be here." If he would have stopped right there, and I understand where he's coming from, it all would have been well. But he said, let's camp out right here. Let's just build three tabernacles. And the reason for that is because he was enjoying the presence of God. and he was enjoying seeing God working. I mean, my goodness, we would probably say the same thing. Boy, I don't want to move from this place, but that's not what the Lord has for us on this side. One day, there's coming a day where we're going to step into the presence of God and never be removed again. That's going to be tremendous with all of his saints, amen? All of the redeemed forever and ever. I don't understand that, but I'm looking forward to it, and I believe it, and I know it's true. Why? Because it's in God's Word. And so be careful. A lot of people say, oh, listen, put your Bibles away and just listen to me. It's time to leave that church, amen? I mean, that's not the right church, because we don't come to hear from man, we come to hear from God. And so he says, I want you to know something. I'm giving you this testimony. When God glorified the Son, notice verse 18, and this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were here with him in the Holy Mount. So here he's saying, I want you to know, I had a personal witness, and it's penned down in Scripture for us in the Gospels, amen, and also here in the book of 2 Peter, that he was right there in the Mount of Transfiguration in the very presence of the Lord, experiencing something wonderful that he didn't want to leave. But then the Heavenly Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. In other words, don't make up your own plans. Don't follow your way. Follow his way and what he's doing. He's going to show us things all along the way. He's going to give us glimpses of his glory, and that's a good thing, because there are some times when physically speaking, we are tired. Ever been there? Wednesday night's usually a time to be tired. You've gone through the week and there's a lot going on, and you're making time, and the devil, the world, and the flesh will fight you to not be in God's house. But this is where we get encouraged. This is where we get rejuvenated, spiritually speaking, to continue on in the right perspective. By the way, it glorifies the Lord to assemble ourselves together. And the reason for that is because every believer is indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And then you come to this place here with other members and other believers that have the Holy Spirit, and that just becomes really the Spirit, just emphasized, and then the Word of God's opened up, and the Holy Spirit works through the Word of God. So really, Wednesday night ought to be a good night to where we are re-encouraged and empowered, really, through the Word of God to understand our purpose and God's purpose, really, for our lives. And so he says, hear my Son. Don't come up with your own plans. In life, we have valleys and we have mountaintops, don't we? We have times of refreshing, and we have times where we're without. And then that's the time that we go by faith. Really, we go by faith all the time, but we trust the Lord again that we're going to be refreshed. Has God ever let us down in that? Listen, we go through some dark times. We go through some trials. We go through even sometimes persecutions by people that don't even know that they might be persecuting the believer, because they are at enmity. If they're not saved, they're at enmity with God. And so therefore, they don't even realize that they are obstinate, really, towards God's people. And so that's kind of a dry time. But then God meets us maybe sometimes when we're reading his Word. His Holy Spirit comes alongside and lifts things up out of the Word of God that encourages us, that wows us, that awes us, and then we sense the presence of God speaking to us through his Word, and these are times of encouragement. But then it's okay. There'll be another valley where it might be a little bit of a dry spell, but God never forsakes us, and we are never out of God's hand. And so what happens is we can count on him bringing us back to that place of refreshing. And no matter how long, listen, no matter how long a time of maybe being barren might be, where we don't have really sense the presence of God as much as we do at other times, there's coming a day where we're going to step into the very presence of God that will never leave it again. Amen? So we can count on God's great faithfulness. So he's telling them, and by the way, this again was the place where Peter came up with his own idea, and he's not bashful to say, hey, listen, I was there when God glorified our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the voice came down from heaven, and he was excited about that. And then he says here, he says, that was the voice of God the Father, but now consider the voice from the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. A more sure word of prophecy. That's the Bible. That's the Word of God. And then notice what he says, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. What's that? the word of prophecy, the word of God, because it tells the truth, right? Listen, this world is in darkness. Is that the truth? And the only light that the world needs that's going to help them see the truth is the gospel light, the word of God. And so let's us be confident in what the Lord is giving to us through his word and walk in that light, because the lost world needs it. And if we're not feeding upon it, and if we're not thriving on the word of God, well, the lost world certainly won't. They need to see, just like we needed to see, and God showed us we needed him as our Savior, the world needs to see this as well, right? And so notice what it says right here. We also, verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, when? Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Notice this. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. In other words, we don't have just something that's just exclusively to us, but it's something that is applicable, really, to all of us. There are spiritual truths. There is an interpretation, but then there are many applications that apply to us personally. And then he says this, verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time, listen, by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So he's telling us here how the word of God came about. He says, you know, you'll have secular people tell you men wrote the Bible. Have you ever heard that? I was in the ninth grade. Mr. Doudna, my English teacher, told me that poets wrote the Bible. I didn't know. So for many years, I believed poets wrote the Bible. But no, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that holy men of God, that means they were sanctified and set apart by God for God. They weren't just anybody. Oh, you know what? I'm going to write a poem and stick that in the Bible. No, that's not how the Lord worked. Every word of God is God-breathed, amen? He's the one that put it there on purpose. Somebody didn't get an idea and say, I'm going to stick something in the Bible. It's all put together by the Lord. And he says, verse 21 again, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake, how? As they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so that's why he says we have a more sure word of prophecy. And so he says, take heed to the word of God, right? Let it be your guide. That's what it means to take heed. That means I listen to it and I follow it. If you're driving down the road, let me see. And the bridge is out. The bridge is out. How would you like it to work out for you? Would you like there to be a hospital about 50 yards past the bridge that's out? Or would you like there to be a sign before you get to the bridge that's out and says, warning, stop, the bridge is out, right? You don't want it after the fact. Well, listen, when you go off the road, we'll make sure the ambulance is there ready for you to rush you to the hospital to see if you might make it. Well, how about we just make sure that we don't go off the cliff? Amen? And that's what the Word of God is all about. Listen, the world has no inkling, no idea, but you and I who are the redeemed understand the importance of the Word of God. If we can trust God to save our souls, surely, the Creator of all things, we can trust Him for everyday living. Amen? For what He says is right and what He says is wrong. In spite of when the world says what is wrong is right, and they say what is right is wrong, right? That's what they're saying. It amazes me how many people today, in the day and age in which we live, will tell Christians how to live, and they have nothing to do with Christ. And they're vulgar people, and they're blasphemous. And I've heard them at different times. Different programs. They'll say, you know, if they were really Christians and these people live immoral lives, I mean, they tell you about it. They profess they live immoral lives. They tell you that they don't care about the things of God. But they're going to teach us how to walk with the Lord. Listen, what they don't understand is God's ways are not their ways. And we must adhere to the Lord and His word more than what is popular. Because, listen, what is popular isn't always right. And what is right isn't always popular. So where are we going to stand? Are we going to stand for what's right, regardless of what the world is saying? That's what God says we must do. And why would we do that? Because we trust the Lord.
Amen.
And He is faithful to see us through everything. And by the way, if He would have us to lay our lives down, is He not worthy? But listen, we would never even, and by the way, that's not what God's want. God's really wanting us to live for Him. But listen, may we say, Lord, come what may, I want to be faithful to You and to Your word. So how does that happen? That doesn't happen at the point of a calamity, at a point of an emergency. That comes in everyday living. Every day, choose you this day whom you will serve. Because if we didn't live for God yesterday, chances are we may not be living for God today and may not live for Him tomorrow. So we need to live for the Lord today and every day. And how do we do that? We say, Lord, I need You to guide me. You know why I need the Lord to guide me? Because there's pressure. There's pressure, isn't there? The devil will pressure you. You don't have to do that. You don't need to do that. How about the world? The world will pressure you. How about our flesh? Our flesh will pressure us. And so, Lord, I need You so that I will hear You and not myself and not the world and definitely not the devil. And so here we find a voice from the Holy Spirit to take heed and to be led by the Holy Spirit. Right? That's how the holy men of God were moved. And by the way, you and I are holy. Why? Because of God's righteousness and the blood that's been applied to our account. And so we have already... Are you redeemed?
Yes.
Amen. So if you're redeemed, God has set you and I apart for His glory. And so, Lord, I want to walk, I want to abide in You, and You abide in me, because then You can bear Your fruit through me, right? And You can multiply that to bear more fruit and much fruit, and I can walk in Your confidence. But it has to be an individual pursuit. In other words, this is something that has to be real to you, and you can call upon the Lord to have Him make it real. We can't conjure this up, but God will give it, because He's our Heavenly Father who won't withhold bread or any good thing from His children, and it is the will of God. You're indwelt, right? As a believer, you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. God wants to make that an active part in our lives, that we might experience Him every day. And so, Lord, that I might know how to walk in this world, that I would not respond ever in the flesh, but always in the Spirit of God. And we will begin to experience the presence of God. And then the world's going to clamor, but we're going to say, oh, but listen, my God is so faithful to me. I experience Him on a daily basis. I respond and walk in such a way that He reminds me who's in control and who's the one that blesses my life. So consider this last thought. And so he says all of this because there is a voice from the false prophets. And this is going to be in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. And by the way, but's a conjunction, right? So it's still a continuing thought. He's talking about these holy men of God that were moved by the Holy Ghost. But even though this was happening, but there were false prophets also among the people. There were false prophets also among the people. Were there false prophets among the people of God when they left Egypt? Yeah, there were, weren't there? And so, and there have been false prophets. How about this? When Jeremiah was telling them, you're going to go to captivity, there were false prophets that were saying, oh, no, you're not. No, you're not. Yes, they were. They did, didn't they? And they were found out to be false prophets. But listen to this. But there were false prophets also among the people. Listen to this. Even as there shall be false teachers among who?
Us.
Did the Lord know this was going to carry on from generation to generation, His word? See, this is what the difference is between the Word of God and man's Word. God's Word is infinite. God saw everything in eternity past that would ever take place. That hurts my little brain, but that's the truth. Nothing catches God off guard. He knew all of this was going to take place, and God has seen fit, listen, to write it in His Word so you and I can know the mind of God. And walk in that kind of confidence. Very quickly, we need to finish up here. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Listen what they do. Who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Swift, fast. You ever see wicked people kind of, it appears like they're getting away with it. And it seems like for years they're getting away with it. And they just keep becoming worse and worse and worse, growing worse and worse, right? Well, quickly, that's all relative. Quickly, what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, let's do it like this. Do you remember being a teenager? Amen. We don't have any here tonight. Just like that, we're here. Right? I mean, weren't you a teenager just yesterday? Feels like it, doesn't it? It feels like it was just yesterday, you know. Where did it all go and how did I get here? Time flies, they say, right? And they say life is short. And I promise you, everybody in eternity will say, what a rotten deal I made. Oh, listen, I rejected God. What a rotten deal. I did things my way and it's gone. And it's all done. And so, praise the Lord that we're followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that God holds us in his hands, not just for today, but for all eternity. Isn't that wonderful? For all eternity, we praise the Lord. And so notice what he says about these false teachers that bring in damnable heresies, and they're bringing themselves to swift destruction that doesn't stop them. Consider these false teachers, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. So many people are going to follow them, and they're false teachers. How would you and I know if they're false teachers? How would we know? The Bible. See, listen, when there are people that work being able to, it's probably done computerized now, but years ago, people that would be used to tell whether or not bills were counterfeit or not, they would only let them look at the original article. They wouldn't have them study counterfeit bills because they change everywhere. But they would have them study just the authentic bill. You know why? Because they looked at it and looked at it and looked at it and looked at it. The moment they see something that's false, bingo, it just stands out to them because they know where everything is supposed to be and how everything is supposed to look. And the moment it doesn't look like that, they know what it is. That's the same way. Listen, the more we immerse ourselves in the truth of the Word of God, the moment something clashes or cuts across the grain of the Word of God, a red flag goes up and we say, wait a minute, this is not right. But listen, if we're immersed in the world, we're going to get swept away. We're going to get caught up. And by the way, listen, be careful not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Because why? Why does God say that? Because you will befriend them and you will like them, and we will overlook things because we like them. In fact, we might even love them as friends. We might love them. And they would draw our hearts away. Not that we're not cordial, not that we're not kind, but we have to be careful about buddying up with people that are unbelievers because they'll lead us astray. Because of our relationship with them. And that's why when we have a healthy relationship with the Lord, we're willing to follow him wherever he goes. So, he says, many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be what? Evil spoken of. It's going to be evil spoken of. Wait, listen. Many are going to follow these false teachers, and they're going to talk about the truth in an evil way. How is that? My goodness, don't you see it today? I see it today more than ever before. I cannot believe people don't have half a mind to think for themselves and are just caught up in this. I just saw on the news, I can't remember, but whatever the terrorists were, there was some kind of a council meeting, and she was in front of the judge, or no, the council, the town council. And she said she was all for the terrorists. And she was yelling at the council members, and they couldn't even kind of conduct their meeting. And she said, we know where you live, and we'll murder you. Do you know what happened to her right there? She got arrested. She got arrested. You know what she was doing? I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before. She was in tears crying. Well, listen, you committed a crime. You threaten bodily harm in a town council meeting to the council members. And now all of a sudden she's sorry. You see, this is what happens when you get emotionally involved. And she was not Palestinian. She was Gonzalez, Hispanic. But she got swept away. She got caught up in this, and she her emotions got away on her. And here's what happened. She made some friends, maybe with some Palestinians, and she said, I like you, so I'm going to stand with you, and I'm going to stand for you. And boy, howdy, did she pay for it. And so we need to be careful who we yoke up with, because we'll get swept away with it. And that's why God is warning us. Notice this. And many shall follow, verse 2, their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And now the her lawyer is saying she didn't know what she was doing. She's 28 years old. She knows what she's doing. You can play that with a 3-year-old, but not with a 28-year-old. And so enough with the double standard here. That's why crime is rampant, and that's why people are being murdered left and right, and that's why all these things are going crazy, because the laws are being ignored. But may it not be so for the child of God who holds the word of God in their hands. And notice what happens here, verse 3. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. That lady I was telling you about was sold a bill of goods. I don't wish any ill will on her. But my goodness, she needs to understand what right and wrong is. And it's wrong to threaten somebody's life with murder. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah and the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. And here's what the Lord is saying. Listen, we hold the word of God. Let this be our guide. Be careful about what's going on out in the world, not to get carried off with that. We ought to spend more time seeking the Word of God and the way of God than the things in this world. Because the things in this world are passing away. And listen, if you looked it up, they showed both the things. They showed her yelling at the town council people, and then sobbing before the judge. Okay? But I'm going to tell you, her emotions, she was not demonically possessed, but she was possessed by her emotions. There was no stopping her. You could see, she was not just saying a word and stopping. She was like, bah, 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 and we'll murder you. She was carried away. And listen, we need to be careful. We cannot stand by ourselves. We need the Lord, and we need to seek God, or we might get carried away. I hope not, but it's possible, because we're flesh and blood. It's possible that we can get carried away, maybe not in something atrocious like that, but in something that would compromise the truth or our relationship with the Lord, that would cause us not to be a testimony of the light and the grace of God in our own lives, and we'll hide the light of God, because we're fearful or whatever it might be, to the very ones who need the Word of God. So God says, moreover, that means more importantly, that we need to be witnesses of the glory of God who dwells within us. Amen? Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight. Lord, we do thank you for your word, for your truth that we can stand on. And Lord, we know that you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and trust you as their Savior. Lord, may you empower our lives. May you create a hunger and a thirst for you and your righteousness in our hearts and minds, that we would seek you in such a way and be filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit in such a way that we would be able to give a witness, Lord, to a lost and dying world that needs it desperately, and an encouragement to our family and our church family, and ultimately a glory to your name. Bless as we break off for prayer, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.